have for 2 years been listening to rumours among the West Indian community that the Yardies are operating behind the scenes in several major cities. Police don't know how many, but they suspect there are still relatively few.
There are certain Yardies in this country at the moment, and they are involved in extortion, they're involved in drugs, they're involved in vice, and we see it as something in the nature of a cancerous growth.
No, not again!
Wow, two shows in 1 week. I can't believe it. Welcome again to Oh No, Not Again, the post-punk show. This is a special Manchester episode, and I want to dedicate this, my first dedication, to my friend Andy on the occasion of her wedding. And we'll talk about that a little later on.
I fell in love with an alien being whose skin was jelly, whose teeth were green. She had the big bug eyes and the death ray glare, feet like water wings, purple hair. I was over the moon. I asked her back to my place, and then I married the monster from outer space. The days were numbered, the nights were spent in a rent-free furnished oxygen tent, where a cyborg chef served up moon beans, done super rapid on a laser beam. I needed nutrition to keep up the pace when I married the monster from outer space. We walked out, tentacle in hand, you could sense that the earthlings would not understand. They go nudge, nudge when we got off the bus, saying it's extraterrestrial, not like us, and it's bad enough with another race, but fuck me, a monster from outer space. The cybernetic fit of rage, she pissed off to another age. She lives in 1999 with a new boyfriend, a blob of slime. Each time I see a translucent face, I remember the monster from outer space.
Thank you.
Yes, some people might call it heaven. I call it, oh no, not again, the post-punk show. And here we are with our dozenth episode. I think I can say that with all confidence. There could be another dozen in the works. But for right now, we're focusing on Manchester. And as I said in the brief interlude at the beginning, my friend Andy recently was married. She lives in Denver, Colorado. And I am going to have to hold her to the idea of other people being your hard drive for information. We both kind of agreed that people who have archives should be willing to share them, so I'm hoping I can count on her for sharing her music with me further in the future. I have not yet met her husband, and hopefully that will happen sometime soon. But until then, this is a show dedicated to Manchester music, and my friend Andy is a big fan of Manchester, so this goes out to her, and also to the memory of the leader of Section 25, who passed away in March, and I'll be playing two tracks by Section 25 later on. So before I get too choked up, I'll talk about who the preceding song was. That was by Pauline Murray, who I've played on the female vocals show. And the backing band was the Invisible Girls, who are actually all men, which is pretty funny and very Manchester. And before that was a track called I Married a Monster from Outer Space. That track by Pauline Murray was called Searching for Heaven, which I thought was appropriate as a wedding song. Here I am in my DJ wedding DJ mode. And before that, I Married a Monster from Outer Space, which is no commentary on Andy. Actually, if she were only 15, 20 years older, who knows? That was John Cooper Clarke, who apparently I didn't even know my friend Andy likes John Cooper Clarke. And your surprise is there's going to be a lot more John Cooper Clarke in the next show, which you already guessed, but there'll be other surprises too, which I'll mention towards the end of the show. There's going to be merchandise available. I've decided to make a line of t-shirts. I used to do t-shirts back in the 80s, spray paint t-shirts, and I'm going to do variations of that. I'll be doing airbrush with some other things. Anyway, so that means we'll now have prizes. So when I do goofy things like having a who was that band that came from this band type contest like I did in the last show, there'll actually be prizes. So maybe now you people will get in contact with me if you think there's swag involved. So we'll have some more contests. I don't know about this episode. It might be too easy in this episode. Well, enough babbling. I'd like to introduce a band called Ludus, or Ludus, L-U-D-U-S. I don't really know exactly the pronunciation, but they were founded by an artist named Linder Sterling. And if you've seen the covers for the Buzzcocks Orgasm Addict album, or song, 7-inch, I have to think back to vinyl days, she designed the cover for Orgasm Addict, and also apparently for Magazine's Real Life album. So she was working in a lot of Xerox and collage forms, and also she was a model and quite amazing visual artist on her own. So here we are. This is a song called The Fool, and they are Ludus, or Ludus, L-U-D-U-S. Thank you. some really complex stuff there for the time period when everyone else was getting more basic and more minimal. Here's Linda Sterling and Lutus, or Lutus as you want to pronounce it, going a complete jazz direction, and it's just amazing the diversity that came out in the period between basically 1981 and 1986, which is the time period I'm most playing in my radio show. So coming up is a band that started way early. I believe they started in 1976. This is a band that you can't leave out if you're talking about Manchester. They're called The Fall, and many of you who like this kind of music have probably heard them, but they have so many albums, I don't even know how many albums they have, probably 30 or 40 or some ungodly number. But this is from an album called Perverted by Language, and it's a song called I Feel Voxish.
Yeah.
That was I Feel Voxish by The Fall. And one reason you just can't deny The Fall any place in Manchester history is because they probably sum up all the things about Manchester that really make that city great. The working class origins, the fierce literary situationist inspiration, the rebellious attitude, the angularity of their music. That's the thing I think you can really use The Fall as a great example of. We talk about angularity in post-punk. I know I have used that term many times, and you just forget that some people might not know what you mean by that. So with The Fall, I wrote a definition while I was listening to this track. Angularity in post-punk, what is it? Okay, the way I think that it works is that, at least with The Fall, the words are probably the most important part. I think Mark E. Smith writes out the words with certain spacing and repetitions in mind. So to me, in relation to The Fall anyway, angularity is how the music falls in or around the words, and then the way the words in response fall in and around the music. So that's kind of how I see, that's an angularity that can be symmetrical or non-symmetrical, and I don't want to get into all the details, but now that we have talked about this a little bit, now you see how deep post-punk can be if you really think about it. And at the time, it was considered kind of a throwback to primitive days. Everybody was stripping it down because of punk rock and all that kind of stuff. But if you think about the stuff that happened just directly after punk, and that will bring in this next band, one of my favorites, and I know Andy's favorites too, I think, Magazine. And they are now playing again. They're back on tour in Europe. So hopefully someday they may come to the U.S. I would really like to see Magazine. This is a song by them called My Tulpa. And actually at the beginning of the show, I didn't use an introduction. I just used my own voice. But the first part of that sound collage was done by Barry Adamson. And Barry Adamson is a member and former member and continuing member of Magazine. And Barry Adamson is a bassist and also a fantastic composer in his own right. And I will be playing Barry Adamson directly after Magazine. Since he's a member of Magazine, I thought that was only fitting. So anyway, here it is, Magazine with My Tulpa.
I wanna see you. Don't you wanna see me?
That was Barry Adamson with a tune called Under Wraps. And there's a huge jazz and blues and all kinds of soundtrack music influences in Barry Adamson's work. And as I mentioned, he's also the bassist for Magazine. And for those of you who don't know, Magazine was probably the first post-punk band. It's a toss-up between that and PIL. But they were formed when Howard Devoto split off of Buzzcocks, one of the very early punk bands who formed actually after seeing the Sex Pistols play in Manchester. And within about a year, Howard Devoto split from the Buzzcocks and formed Magazine. And Magazine had so many people who were very expert players sort of thumbing their nose at the primitiveness of punk and saying, you know what, I've moved on already. All you people can be punks if you want to, but I'm already out of here and doing my own thing, which I think was really great. And it took many people 20 years or more to get past punk, and some people are still not past punk. But that's what I like about post-punk, and Magazine was definitely one of the very first. So, let's move on to kind of a sad note. Larry, the founder and sometimes singer and guitarist and composer and kind of leader of Section 25, this next band, passed away in March, and I just wanted to dedicate these next two songs to him. One is to the band and his survivors. This is called Be Brave, and after that is the pretty well-known song by Section 25. It's more electronic and danceable, and trying to think of, you know, where Larry could be now. It's called Looking from a Hilltop.
You always make me laugh.
That was section 25 with Looking from a Hilltop. And now we're going to move on to a more uplifting song, I guess. Even though section 25 can be uplifting too, I don't deny that. This is by a group called the Drudy Column. Generally, it was only one person, Vinnie Riley, on his guitar and accompanied by a drummer sometimes. And on this song, which comes from Circuses and Bread, it is Vinnie Riley accompanied by a violinist, who I should look up on the album sleeve, but I can't seem to find that jewel case right now, so sorry, I don't know who the violinist is right offhand. But the Drudy Column produced, many albums, probably a dozen or more by now, and Vinnie Riley apparently is still touring, primarily in art galleries and small venues, playing his guitar through multiple delays and doing whatever he does. And he's a big influence on my guitar playing. In fact, if you listen to some of my earlier guitar stuff that's out there on the web, you'll hear that same kind of doubling and tripling of the delay. And I try to get that nice brittle tone that he gets, and it sounds just like glass chimes. And, without further ado, here we are, the Drudy Column. The name of the track is Pauline. Delicate and beautiful track there by Vinnie Riley and an accompanying violinist. This is a recording by the Drudy Column. Drudy, I believe, was an intellectual in the, I believe it was either the Spanish or Italian Civil War, and the Drudy Column was inspired to fight on intellectual basis of his writings. I'm not completely sure, but it's something you can look up on the internet if you're interested. Definitely socialist inspired, as were many things back then in the 80s. Socialism had not died in Britain, and I think its ideals were transmitted in intellectual ways through situationism and many other, the anti-psychiatry that became popular towards the end of the 80s, Galouz and Dutari and some of these guys. You'll know who I'm talking about if you know what I'm talking about. Okay, let's move on to another band you cannot deny if you're talking about Manchester. And that band would be perhaps my all-time favorite band out of every band I've ever heard in my entire life, which is probably many, many thousands, who I never got to see live, Joy Division. And this was another surprise to my friend Andy. I was on Facebook with her. I'm a modern guy, and we were chatting briefly while I was working on preparing this episode. And I said, I'm playing some Joy Division, finally. Guess what songs? And she said, one popular one and one not-so-popular one, which is kind of what I usually do. But I thought I'd throw a little twist into it and play two that are not popular. Woohoo! Just as a surprise. And it's not from the regular canon of Joy Division albums, not from the big two. It is from my personal favorite, Still, which is rare and unreleased things that were released just after Ian Curtis's death. And it still chokes me up the way that happened. He would have been a great star and deserved everything that should have been his. And of course, then New Order went on and became one of the hugest bands in the world, and they deserve everything they've done too, so I'm not denying them anything. I'm just saying that Still is kind of a record of potential and lost potential and a celebration and a funeral of sorts in music. And so here we are, two songs that sort of express the sad and forlorn and tragic side of Joy Division, and then the more raw side, the more aggressive, powerful side of Joy Division, which is a reminder of how they started off as a punk band called Stiff Kittens and then became Warsaw, which, if I were a punk show, I'd be playing Warsaw, but you can hear the Warsaw sound in the second song. So the first song is, they're both from Still, the CD version, which I first bought on vinyl and right when it came out. And the first song is called The Sound of Music, and it has nothing to do with the movie, so don't expect anything like that. And then the second song is called The Kill. And both of these, I say, were my two favorites from that double gatefold album called Still. We'll be right back. Yes, I admit it. That has to be my favorite Joy Division song of all time. The Kill from the Still Double Gatefold album. And I am not one of those people who like Joy Division, oh, because they're so dark and oh, they're so scary. I got into Joy Division after I had been starting to listen to early punk and new wave stuff that I heard on the radio in the 70s. And I bought Love Will Tear Us Apart, the single, right when it first came out, and it was available at a place called Hot Licks downtown Minneapolis, one of the coolest record stores on the universe. And it became hot, from Hot Licks, it became Northern Lights, and it was still in a little tiny hole in the wall, right next to Moby Dick's on the notorious E Block in Minneapolis. And later on, I would help run a gallery upstairs from there called Rifle Sport Gallery. And that was the coolest block in Minneapolis. And it's all gone now. It's a parking lot. No, actually, it's worse than a parking lot. They built a multiplex mall with multiple theaters and a Hard Rock Cafe, which, from what I understand, is now closed, thank God. But anyway... those days is gone, believe me. The days when I bought that Joy Division single. But I still remember it, and it was so cool. Anyway, I'm glad I got to experience that with all my friends back in art school and at First Avenue. This is dedicated to all of you out there from Minneapolis in the old days. And it's a band that was, for some strange reason, compared to Joy Division. They were on Factory Records, and apparently they were Tony Wilson's favorite band for a while. They are called A Certain Ratio, and I'm sort of a mixed mind, and so is my friend Andy. She agrees with me that when they're on, they are really on, and when they're not, they really are not. And there's a lot of bands like that, but A Certain Ratio really suffered from that, and I thought they suffered from more of a throbbing gristle, sort of complex 23 Skidoo, especially with the furious funk background and the drumming. That's a real 23 Skidoo thing. I think they had more in common with them than Joy Division. And then the Chris and Cozy influence. I mean, Chris and Cozy came later because they were still part of Throbbing Gristle at the time. But Cozy plays a cornet through a lot of delay, and gee, wonder where that comes from in A Certain Ratio. So I think they were really miscompared. I think they really were more of a Throbbing Gristle, 23 Skidoo, that type of thing. Anyway, if you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. And if you don't, you don't. Sorry. But check into it. And on this track, I don't believe there's as much trumpet as there usually is. And this should be from the time when Simon Topping was still in the band. And he would later leave and play with a band called Blurt, I think it was. Here they are, A Certain Ratio. This is the last track for the show. And stay tuned for the next one. That will be our long-awaited spoken word show. There may be a bit of a gap since I'm moving, so that may be a few weeks from now. But sooner than it was before. Anyway, enjoy this. It's an example of that early 80s cross-pollinization of world music into alternative music. This was before it was called world music. This is probably from the, oh, I'd say probably 1980 or 81 era, maybe 82 or 3. I'm not really sure. I'll have to look that up. But it's from the compilation of A Certain Ratio called Early. And that goes back, I believe, as far as 1978. So this is from somewhere in the very early 80s. It's called Waterline.